Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk About It. I'm Jeff Arnold, a five-time best-selling author, publisher of the Arizona 100, and now podcast host for Let's Talk About It, conversations with industry shapers where your story takes center stage. Hey, listen, in the heart of every industry leader lies an innovator and a visionary that has a story just waiting to be told. And at Let's Talk About It, we're going to have conversations with all kinds of leaders and visionaries. Can't wait to have you as one of our podcast guests, too. If you listen to the end, we'll tell you how you can be a guest on a future show. Thanks for joining us. Hello, and welcome to Let's Talk About It, conversations with industry shapers. Today, I have the distinct pleasure of speaking with Jamie Seeker of Seeker Solution, also found at seekersolution.com. So, Jamie, welcome to the show.
Hi, Jeff. Thanks for having me.
Super excited. We've had some banter back and forth in the dialogue before recording, and I think you guys are going to like this. Jamie's got some great energy to bring. Jamie, if you could, just give us a 30,000-foot view of your company.
Sure. Yeah. We are a operations management consulting firm. We've got consultants that have different specialties in different areas for small, medium-sized businesses that anybody can use at that size. And so that ranges from HR to financial to training and development and things like that. So we really step in. It's your outsourced department per se in any one of those areas.
Oh, perfect. So when I think of businesses, we've been fortunate to run lots of companies, insurance companies, and lots of firms, public and private. I think of seven centers of the business management, right? And it sounds like you hit four of them briefly.
Well, I just gave a couple of examples. Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. We do have probably about five or six that awesome. Are most common, but you're probably going to hit them when you say the seven. So
if you think about it,
that's probably what we do.
Perfect. I just had the good fortune to sit at the feet of a man named Michael Gerber for a couple of years. And for any of you listeners, Michael Gerber wrote The E-Myth, Why Most Businesses Don't Work and What to Do About It. And he drilled into us repeatedly to focus on the seven centers, which were leadership at the middle, that's you, as the business owner, as the leader, and then surrounded by what Jamie was talking about, finance, marketing, lead generation, lead conversion, client fulfillment, and budgeting. So all of those are part of the seven centers. And what Seeker Solution does sounds like is maybe not lead gen and lead conversion, but all the supporting features that a company needs really to get its ship right and headed in the right direction.
Yes, that's exactly right.
Awesome. Fantastic. Hey, Jamie, a couple questions as we always do is how would you say your firm, Seeker Solution, is changing, challenging, or shaping the industry?
I think there's a couple of different things that we've done in this industry. The first thing is pre-pandemic, a lot of our clients were mom and pop mentality, if you referenced E-Myth. And they had not gotten to that different way of looking at how they do business. And so a lot of what we had to do was go into the business. I hit a lot of local clients in my area because they really just couldn't see how this was going to work, how we were going to help them without being there and being part of the team and a part of the family. And so that's really what we did in the beginning. Well, what I was seeing is that really wasn't an efficient way for me to bring my services to them. And I really, as I started growing, I could do that in the beginning, right? When it was just me. But as we started growing our business model, I started seeing that was less and less viable and started moving toward, okay, if I am not commuting and going back and forth, I can see a lot more clients in a day. And so I moved to this virtual getting online and being more of a remote worker. And with our current client base, it worked well, right? Because we already had that relationship. They were like, oh, whatever you say, I had that time to build that foundation and that relationship. And so they slowly started getting on board. It was harder and harder to do with new clients that were like, okay, so wait, so you're not going to come here. What does that mean? And so that was pre-pandemic. And so we were using Zoom and video conferencing and things like that long before that became a thing. And so we really started shifting people's mindsets into, I don't have to be there and next to you in order to be effective and to really bring change and good things to your organization. And I taught the people around me that this is how we're going to work as a company. And as I started bringing on consultants, they never went to new businesses unless obviously we go on site for different things. But for the most part, our business model switched over to this remote outsourced worker long before anybody in the industry was really doing that regularly or it was common practice. Post-pandemic, it was amazing for us from a business model standpoint. So I think we did a little bit of that in our little sphere of influence, and then the world adapted to that immediately for us. So the barrier to entry into this market, small, medium-sized businesses for us, completely blew down those walls. So that was amazing for us as business that shifted. And also the mentality shifted as well. Not only did everyone technologically know how to meet with us and get on board, we no longer had to teach them how to do it and convince them that this was a way that we could acceptably meet. We then were able to switch to the assumption pre-pandemic was, wait, so you're going to be here, right? And then post-pandemic, it was like, oh, so we meet on Google or we meet on Zoom or whatever it is. And so that was an industry disruption that happened. We made the decision to do it early, but then the rest of the world caught up with us. And I think that's people that are looking to move and shake things around, start doing things before everybody really knows and understands what's going on. So we were primed and ready. And what ended up happening to us in our business was, we went from here and steady growth to like people were looking for us and we were ready for it. And so I think that's why I consider that to be how we've shaped it, because we didn't have that learning curve and it wasn't this thing that we had to adjust to. We were there, we were ready when people were looking and really, we don't know what to do in our business. I need help. We were there and ready to do that. So,
that's fantastic. I love the analogy there where you're getting into the hockey stick growth, right? All of us covet that graph, right? In any business we're at. Let's drill down a little bit there, Jamie, if we could. If you think in terms of staying in the Michael Gerber theme, psychographics and demographics, right? Who buys your services and why do they buy? If you think in terms of your top 10 customers from a revenue standpoint, what are the psychographics and demographics of those?
So demographics are who is buying is small, medium-sized business owners who are still actively within their operation. They have not fully made that transition or started to make that or none of that. And their team is growing probably beyond the size that they can manage it. So I'd say that's about 13 to 75-ish employees. Anything, obviously we can work with smaller and bigger and we do, but I would say that's a really great size for us. In terms of revenue, they're looking at 2 to 10 million. Anything below that, we have a hard time. They're still feeling like they can do a lot of what they want to do. And bigger than that, they typically will have people in that seat already. And are doing the job internally. And so it doesn't always make sense to outsource. But like I said, we do have some outliers, but for the most part, we're in there. Psychographically, why they're looking for us is they are overwhelmed, overworked. They are the bottleneck in their company. They can no longer do it themselves. And it's a really drastic, like either I need to make a change tomorrow or we're blowing the whole thing up. It's like either we're this or that. It's one or the other. And so a lot of times at their wits' end, they don't know what to do. They're doing it alone. They don't necessarily have a team of people around them. They haven't quite built that yet, or they are, but there's still gaps in there and they're recognizing. I am starting to come across a lot more business owners who are very self-aware and looking at their business and saying, oh, I see what's about to happen. So I am starting to see this shift where people are becoming more proactive about identifying their gaps and where they're going. I wasn't really seeing that in previous years of experience, but I am starting to see a little bit of that now, which is great. So those are the type of people who are looking for us. They're just ready. They're ready to really take a deep dive into the role that they play in the company and how they can be more effective and efficient in delivering their products or services. And they're really willing to open up their hands a little bit and say, I think I might need some help here. So that's really where we do. If they're not ready to do that, they're not really a good fit for us because it's more of a struggle, and which is okay. Sometimes we get on board and that's what we identify. And we say, hey, I think that you think you want something else, but your actions are really showing this. And so maybe if you just shifted your mindset into, hey, what I've got here is really what I want, then it really changes everything for them. I think where they're misaligned and thinking that they should or could or would be somewhere else, but their really actions aren't, they're not really willing to do that. That's really where we see a lot of that struggle. And so we either help in alignment of that and shifting their mindset to let go of those things and help, we can help you transition there, or own it and own the fact that you don't want to change and that what you've got is really what you were trying to build the whole time, and just be comfortable and confident in sitting in that seat.
Oh, fantastic. And I think for business owners listening, small or large, one of the great hallmarks of an executive that's really in tune is when you understand and you come to the realization that it's a pivotal moment that you don't have to be the chief answer person. In fact, you should be the chief asker of questions. And so if you don't have the answers, that's okay. You reach out to someone who does or has other industries to reference to give you some feedback on. So, great data point for leaders. The chief asker of questions is better than being the chief answer person, right? It's very
I agree.
powerful. You get some great growth there. Let's talk real quick, Jamie, how you got into this. What was your experience leading up to before you founded your firm?
Sure. I was always in operations, and my career path was in a corporate nonprofit setting, which sounds a little bit not. How could you be corporate nonprofit? I worked at a very large nonprofit organization for almost a decade and did various jobs, but always in operations. And so the things that we service now are skill sets that I honed over the years. So I started off doing that. And you and I, before this, talked a little bit about 2007 and what kind of happened in the economy there. That's really where I was doing the bulk of my career in that field. Was I really started hitting director level in 2005. So there was growth. Things were booming. I was really training up teams and putting processes in place and doing all of those things that directors were doing at that time. I had a wonderful budget. Managing budget was extremely easy. The annual reviews were wonderful because we were exceeding goals. And then if you were around in 2007, we hit a major crash. And even if you weren't in business, you knew what was going on in housing. And so what we ended up doing, those of us that were working in those careers, is we were laying off our employees. We were having to do so much more with so much less. Those budgets went from like a fraction of what they were in previous years, and we couldn't even hit those. And so that's really where I learned how to be effective and efficient with my time, with my energy, with my resources, how to be smart with what we had. Because not only were we going through that as a whole, I was in a nonprofit. And that in and of itself was, even in the best of times, we're still limited in resources because we're relying on funding and other things. And I would say that I would point to that is the most that I learned. I call it my boot camp of really learning, even though it was like later on in my career, it still was this really intensive learning time, which was really tough, but it was really good. It gave a lot of experience. And then from there, I moved on to manage a small business, which changed my mentality from the kind of a slow and steady and building foundation and a small cog in a big wheel to making immediate change And you could see it. You could see the fruit of it, or you could see it fail right away. I loved that pace. I loved what I was doing there. And even to this day, when I have run-ins or cross paths with people who are there, they're like, we still use your process, or I can still tell when it's something that you put in. And I'm like, that is amazing. That's the best. I never thought fast forward 10, 15 years later that I would ever hear something like that, because I was just trying to get the job done. But in this one, in this small business setting, I didn't have to wait 10 years. It was like, I wait 10 days and I can see what that decision did. So I really gained this love for making an immediate impact. And I didn't know if the things that I was doing then were doing much, other than I know that it's working for me and it was good use of my time. Like, I could feel the effects of that. But here, it's, oh, I'm seeing results right immediately. Away. So that's really the how did I get here is really a sum of the experience that I went through over the years then. And we're putting those into practice now with Seeker Solution and bringing those types of solutions and those philosophies into our services.
Awesome. Oh, that's fantastic. Great feedback. Let's talk about hard-won wisdom, right? Every executive, every founder, every employer, employee, they all have struggles. When I say hard-won wisdom, what instantly bubbles up in your mind is it's a lesson you'll take to your grave because it was hard won.
Yes, both of the times that I left the two jobs that I was referencing were not my choice. The first one, we had new leadership, just a different philosophy, different way of doing things, and completely dismantled the team that we had there. That was, like I said, I had been there for a decade. So there was very deep-rooted pride in what we did relationally and with our job. And so I always reference that because for me, my approach at the time was that I was going to outlast it. I know that your circumstances are temporary. Leadership is temporary. And I was just there. I knew I was doing my job. I had gotten through that recession time and we were back to, this is now 2012, I would say, 2011, 2012. So we were doing, I had gotten through the hard stuff. So for me, I was going to just do what I can do and bring my best every day and outlast. And that didn't come without friction or struggles. I felt as if the tension was back to healthy tension and not always being hard all the time. But yeah, I think my leadership had different opinions and let me go. And that was something that I felt like, gosh, I was going to outlast and I was going to get through this. And it was like such a heartbreak because shortly after that person didn't last very long. They never really do when they don't align with culture and values and things like that. But at the same time, it still hurt. Like, I'm not there anymore. And I was really going to be there for my entire career. It was a very, for me, what I thought was, I want my family here and involved. And this was our life's work. And that just turned out not to be my decision anymore. And that was tough. That was tough to swallow. So when I went to my next steps, again, small business and different situation, I wasn't let go, but it was an owner situation that decided to take more of an ownership role instead of actively being in it. And so there was really a transition back to her. And again, not my choice. And there was a moment after that where I was really thinking about what I wanted to do. And I thought, I don't know that I want my career to be in somebody else's hands anymore. I want to be the one calling those shots. I feel as if I am an expert in my field at this point, and I have something to offer that I think others value. And I just want to take that back. So that was tough. Emotionally, financially, all of the ways that it could be hard, it was hard. So what's that hard lesson? That was it. And there's just no other answer for me. And people ask me that question all the time. And I hate to just be this like broken record, but that was it for me. That's my moment where a lot of things changed in my perspective and things that I've learned. And
yeah, it's called hard won wisdom for a reason, right? I mean, it sticks with you. It gets into your ethos, into your DNA. And you never forget that. It impacts all your future leadership decisions. So that's true. Great one. I love that hard-won wisdom lesson. And as we talked about before, sure, North America's most awarded insurance firm sponsors us in this whole podcast. And are you seeing any insurance challenges in the businesses that you deal with?
Actually, surprisingly, we haven't. We've had pretty good experience, and we're talking broad. I don't know if there's any kind of specific insurance, but haven't had any trouble getting insurance, haven't had any trouble working through some things that we needed to. Also, oh gosh, knock on wood, have been lucky enough not to have to file and go through any claims with clients or even myself. I have preemptively started one, but just really glad to have my insurance. And I think for me, the most relevant when it comes to professional services is that professional liability and things like that is something that we've come across. And it's just the peace of mind that we've been able to have with our clients and internally. Anybody could say anything at this point, and anybody can claim anything and do anything. And you just don't want to get caught in a position to where you have to defend that and not have the resources to. So that's been my most personal one, is hearing rumblings of could we be at risk, could we not? And just having the peace of mind to say, yeah, we can dot all of our I's and cross all of our T's. We've got everything in place to be okay. And if it comes to anything, I have the resources to be able to fight it. Perfect. So that's really how I approach insurance. And we've really been lucky enough not to see anything problematic in our horizon.
Yeah, great feedback. Final question. How can our listeners get in touch with you?
Oh, easy. Our website, seekersolution.com, has all of our contact information. I've got a phone number, contact form, email addresses, that kind of stuff. And if you're looking to just get to know us a little bit, all of our social media links are on there as well. So we are on LinkedIn, we're on Facebook, Instagram, all that kind of stuff. They can get a hold of us there.
Awesome. Jamie Seeker of Seeker Solution, been wonderful. Seeker Solution at seekersolution.com. Yes. Like she said, there's no S. It's only one solution. So Jamie, been a pleasure talking with you. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Jeff. Bye.
Hi again, Jeff Arnold here. Thank you so very much for listening to Let's Talk About It, Conversations with Industry Shapers. Listen, if you are a successful founder, visionary, entrepreneur, or know someone who is that would be a good fit for this program, please visit or have them visit podcast.jeffarnold.com. That's podcast.jeffarnold.com. Two more quick asks for you, please. If you got something out of this interview, please share it and tag us on social media. I love seeing posts and guest suggestions. And then as a quick reminder, we're always putting out new episodes and content. To make sure you don't miss any, I would say please go ahead and subscribe to us on all your favorite social media channels. Thanks again for listening. We'll see you next time.